Hello everyone, welcome back to the Shinto Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today we're going to talk about finishing throws, being a finisher.
Yeah, and before we go into that, we just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Levon, one of our biggest sponsors.
Right.
Thank you, Levon. You're the reason why, we can keep doing this and keep the suggestions coming. And if you guys want to support us, join us on Patreon and then join our Discord server. Talk to other grapplers and you can talk to us and suggestions and all that stuff.
Yep. Join us on Patreon.
That's right. All right. So what are we talking about today? Finishing throws?
Finishing throws. Yeah. Like the mechanics. When people say like finishing throws, they think like nagekomi.
Yeah.
Right. But it's, like, I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
I'm talking about when you enter into a throw and it doesn't really succeed, but your legs are entangled. Or you're in this limbo position, right? Usually it's like Osoro, Ouchi, even drop Senai when you're stuck underneath the person. And now you have to run the technique down or finish in a way where it's not one swooping movement like everybody wants it to be, but tons of people make a living in this special place.
Like, so you've gotten into the position to throw, but it's not like this perfect position yet. So how do we adjust our body to be able to finish it?
Kind of like that. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
It's like understanding the mechanics of it. You know, that's what we're talking about today.
So should we go down the list of different throws first, or do you have some general point that you want to make about finishing throws?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is understanding their line of defense, right? So you understand the goals of what your body should be doing, and then the reasoning behind why you're pulling with the sleeve, why you're pulling with the right hand or the collar hand, and what your legs are supposed to be doing.
Right.
Majority of the people, because stand-up is so difficult, just keeping their balance and making the shape of the technique is difficult. So people never really look beyond that, right? Mm. And then every now and then they do it in one perfect swoop, and then it works really good, and that's the only thing that they're chasing. But there's a lot of stuff that happens in between there, you know?
Right.
So now when you're trying to work on the finishing mechanics of a technique, you have to look at where you get stuck and why.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How come I wasn't able to finish this move? And can I force it or parlay that into another thing?
Whether it's
the same move, finish in a different way, or do I transition into another move?
Right. So, okay. So maybe an example would do well here. Well, what would be an example of that situation?
Ouchi. Inside
Ouchi. Okay.
It's very rare to get it in one shot where you reap the leg and the person falls flat to their back. It just rarely ever happens, right?
Right.
So what are the main defenses that somebody might do?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a good
Shifting
example.
Shifting their weight to their supporting leg.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that it's get into the hopping situation.
Hopping situation. You're both hopping on one leg each.
Yeah.
You're this two-legged person. You and this other person, right?
Right.
And you're determining which way the person or both or either will fall.
Yeah.
You know? So now we're looking at finishing, whether it's a cutback Ouchi where you're cutting back to the right side or the 45 degrees to the back side.
Right.
Where you're reaping that leg. Or you're going to the 45 degrees to the other side.
Right.
And trying to take their head over the support leg.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like alternating between those two. How and when, right? And then
Do you usually go back and forth between those two directions? Is that what you're saying?
Not me so much. Yeah. You know, I have like a preference, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, but if you can do both, it's even better. Sometimes you can go straight backwards too if they're not so flat.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But this becomes this thing of like keeping the leg elevated, making it look like you're going to go for one direction, you know, and then go in the other direction, you know?
Right.
So like if you're hopping Ouchi backwards and you cut back to the right 45, or to the backside 45, and then in order for them to base, they have to take their leg and hop it underneath them.
Yeah.
Okay. So as they do so, you could shift the body weight to the other direction and run it at that 45.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I see. Yeah. So you can force one way, and then when they're kind of losing balance, you can go the other way.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you're playing football, right? You're running a slant, you know, like a wide receiver. You're running up the thing, and then you cut to the right or cut to the left really fast, you know?
Because
the defenseman is running backwards, the person who's running the formation kind of has a jump start.
Advantage. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Switch direction faster.
Yeah, and sometimes you quick cut right, go left, and then go right back to that other 45, you know?
Right.
Yeah, only difference here is that there's no ball in judo.
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting you mentioned like switching back and forth, because you can, like, for example, you know what Kosei is known for, like just driving to the supporting leg, right?
Yes.
Like, so what's the story there? Why did he finish your Uchigaris there, like, instead of like going back and forth?
Or he was really good at it, you know?
Yeah.
You could only be good at one finish too.
Yeah.
If you're able to enter into an Ochi position and you know one finish really, really good, you could force that finish every single time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But in a way also, right, you have to realize when he goes to that Ochi, he's running it. Sometimes he drops underneath for drop Senagi.
Yeah.
You guys forget, in a way, how to drop Senagi.
Also, he can hook the Uchigari and then do an Uchimata.
He can. Yeah. And sometimes he enters Uchimata and then the Uchimata doesn't work. Go to Uchi, hops, and then those drops stand out. I've seen him do that too.
Yeah.
You know? He's so good.
I know.
He's in a little bit of hot water now, you know?
Why? What happened? I didn't know that.
I mean, this is not a thing that I wanted to say on the air, but, you know, he was caught entering a hotel with someone that wasn't his wife.
Oh, yikes.
And I only said this because I saw it on the Japanese news. So it's public information.
Okay.
Yeah,
you can look it up. Yeah.
A little bit of but you know, this is the thing, right? People cheat on their wives all the time. You know? Right, Peter?
Well, not me. What the fuck?
No, but they do. But you know, Inoue is such a wholesome thing about him.
Right? I know.
And he's always been the protector of good. Right?
You know, he protecting the students and athletes and all that.
Just like cares so much. The most wholesome young man. You know, just like, just what a lovely human. And he's held to such high standards, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, you know, he gets caught, and then, you know, it was a huge deal. It was a huge deal.
How the mighty has fallen, huh?
Well, I don't really know what's going on with him, but it's not very visible now. I saw it on the news once. I was like, oh my God. And now all of a sudden I haven't heard anything about him.
Oh, maybe.
So we'll see.
Maybe he was a good friend of his.
Yeah, Kosei. Maybe he's going to have to move to the United States.
You're going to hire him?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can afford him.
Well, anyway, so you're looking it up right now?
I am. I looked up Inoue Kosei News, but you know what? It's not on there. You see, this is the thing about propaganda in the news. You know what I mean?
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Telling you, it's not on there. I saw this on Japanese news.
Maybe it's, all right, well.
I typed in Inoue Kosei cheating and then did not match any news results. Zero results.
Well, maybe you have to search in Japanese.
You know what? I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're digressing. I'm sorry about that. It's really a ridiculous digression.
I know, but the point being is that Inoue Kosei was so good at finishing throws.
If he's listening, I'm so a fan. I love your judo.
That'd be amazing if he was listening to this. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he could be. I think his English is pretty good, I hear.
Yeah, he studied in Scotland or something, right?
In England.
Yeah. Oh, he's in England? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to finishing throws. Okay, so you know where Kosei did all this tricks to be able to finish Uchigari one side, like that supporting leg side. Well, that's what he was known for. So
he's closing out judo matches, not closing dates.
Oh my God. Why do you have to keep going there? I'm trying to get sweet. All right. So closing up judo matches. That's right. He's very good at that. All right. So what's that? Okay. What were we talking about? So you're Uchigari was that. Okay, so you could throw in other throws, like you could threaten the person with other throws and then maybe that'll make your Uchigari more easier to finish.
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? You can like focus on gripping and entering Ochi, slipping that leg in without the risk of getting like early stage counter when they can anticipate it, they could foot sweep you or sasai you, right?
Yeah.
So you get good at that. And that can be a sort of a drill.
Right.
And then once you get really good at that and then you're really good at finishing, now all the stuff in between that you may usually do in judo in terms of like gaining position and then trying to do this or looking for misdirections and combinations, all that stuff goes out the window, right? Because now your scope is on the beginning where you're trying to fight hand position and force another position with your leg, a leg entanglement position. And then you're really, really good at finishing.
So you can hook it and then just go from there.
Yoshida was like that too.
Yoshida.
Hidehiko Yoshida. He would always just like, maybe let you grip, fight for position. He would just slip the leg in for like an Ouchi.
Yeah.
And then he would either try to finish Ouchi or just go Ushimara.
Ushimara.
But he was very, very flexible.
So that's interesting because all the times you would, emphasize this context, like how to make the throws, like all this like misdirection, you know, yes. Like you said, yeah. Like, you know, the better grip position and all. But now you're saying there's another way. If you focus on the finishing side, you can kind of ignore the part you are very like gung-ho
about.
I
don't think you could ever ignore the beginning part because if you're still attacking from bad position, it's a lot easier to counter the stuff if you don't have a good hand position, right?
Yeah.
So it still is a precursor to have good hand position. Like if you don't have a hand on the collar, like high on the collar where you can manipulate the person's head,
yeah,
then you can't finish it. Think about it. If you have your hand down by the stomach, then you're not going to be able to pull their head down or move their head to any direction, you know? So it still is important. But if you really, really know how to finish and can prevent all the counters and such, you can go from 50-50 position, slip a leg in and go, which I still can't advocate for that because it's just too much risk, right? And I'm kind of risk averse when it comes to dynamic throws like judo where you could tear your ACL in under half a second. You know what I mean?
I see. Yeah. I mean, it is possible, but you're like basically saying that's not really, there's too much risk involved.
Yeah, too much risk involved, you know?
So I guess why not focus on all aspects of it, I guess.
I mean, and the finish stuff, I think, is another big gap. You know, that's one of those things that hasn't really been explored in like the judo YouTube space, you know? And it still is like one of these things that I still know about and I've done and I have sort of an idea, but I've never really done a lot of YouTube videos on it yet, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm starting to kind of like go into that direction where, you know, I'm always talking about judo, teaching judo, as you know, as all the listeners know. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what portion of the judo game have I not really exposed to the public yet? You know what I mean? I haven't brought them to it yet in my most concise and easily digestible chunks of wisdom.
Yeah,
you know, and it's the finishing mechanics, a lot of this stuff, you know.
I see.
The dream is to like fight for position, move, misdirect. The guy doesn't even see it coming, they're upside down and they're getting swooped onto the head, right? So this is not as exciting. I used to hate the Kengan stuff because it just kind of makes you think like, oh, it didn't work on the one shot, so now you gotta force it, you know what I mean? So there was sort of a thing that I didn't like about it,
right?
You know what I mean? Well, I'll give you another example. When Ishii came to the United States and fought in the U.S. Nationals,
Satoshi.
He threw someone, Satoshi Ishii. Everyone was hoping for him to just launch people into oblivion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when he did like a hopping Ouchi, people were like, why couldn't he just like throw him to his back in one shot?
Or like Taiyotoshi, his signature Taiyotoshi and all that.
Yeah, and I was like, first of all, the person who I overheard complaining about this was, I'm like, what gives you the right to complain? You know, it was just like really... I was annoyed by that comment. Really.
Yeah.
But it's true, though. I get it. It's equivalent to, like, you know, when you throw somebody and say, oh, I slammed this guy in the finals, and people say, oh, what'd you throw him with? You say, Senagi. And then when they tell you, like, was it standing Ippo Senagi or was it a
drop
Senagi? It's like, as a drop, you're like, oh, you know, like, there's still, like, a little bit of a thing attached to it, you know, because judo is about that flashy
Ippo. Yeah. You know, right? Teddy Riner gets that criticism, too, I think.
Yeah, we all get that criticism, but it's still beautiful,
he's,
you know, because
when
you don't get it in one shot and you have to finish it the right way, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot going on there, too, you know? So, finishing Osoto.
Mm-hmm.
How many ways do you know how to finish it? Can you read the person, see what they do? Are they trying to counter the Osoto with a backstep counter? Are they counter the Osoto just in the same direction you're going for?
Yeah.
Are they turning and then try to grab your waist to lift you? How do you defend against that, you know?
Right.
Getting into those positions and understanding and reading your opponent and then making adjustments on the fly, and that's a whole other skill in itself.
Right.
You know?
And you say you haven't made a lot of videos on this, but you do have a video about finishing Seiwei Nages, like drop Seiwei Nages, you know?
Yes, but you know what? It's not like the in-depth, like, all right, what if you guy circles around to the right? What if he goes to the backside? You know, what if the guy tries to sprawl? you know, and how you're making those adjustments and how you're running it. And it's not really like that. You know what I mean? Those videos don't really, I haven't made in-depth finishing videos, you know, because people want to see three personalities that you could add into your game immediately.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the most exciting ones. And then the more niche and useful it gets to a higher intermediate and advanced crowd, the less eyeballs there are on it, because you need to cater to sort of the biggest population for it to be having the most views to be, right? Yeah. So I try to like pepper in some of those like more
experimental, like the high level stuff.
Yeah, I pepper those in, and then I'll like mention those in passing. What I'm talking about, the stuff that everyone can get a best ROI on their attention, you know? It's really a work of a genius. I can't stress this enough.
Yo, I'm in the presence of a genius right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're really saying, like, you know how a lot of people usually the instruction on Serenage will go something like this, like, oh, you're going for Serenage, like drop Serenage and it's not working. The, you know, the person sprawls and you can't really do it. Then you're taught to really just switch to another throw. But right now you're saying, There are ways to really just force the whip. Once you enter and you can force a throw despite all the defense your opponent is employing.
Not always. You know, so like if you're doing a drop Senagi and then he pushes that hip in the opposite side and then he cuts that sleeve hand and now you don't have a sleeve hand.
Right.
You can't really finish it. You have one hand on and your hand is back here and then the person grabs that wrist and dives off for a juji. Yeah. There's no finishing that Senagi there. Your arm is, you got to tap there, right? So, like, understanding where you are in that cycle, like how deep you are, how close you are to throwing, you know, feeling that person out. Sometimes you go and drop Senagi and they're walking around the backside. Yeah, so now all of a sudden you have to do sort of a quarter turn drop Senagi to meet them and anticipate them stepping out that way. You know, so like those things are, you know what I mean? Like, it takes a very long time to develop.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yes, it's contextual because the more you can stagger the timing for them to defend it, fake, moving, coaching, blah, 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 and then you pull them out and you drop underneath and they almost go over, that's a great timing to learn how to finish, right? And there's a couple different finishing methods there. So, yeah, that's kind of the idea. You know, and that's what I'm talking about, working specifically and explicitly on.
All right, so I think we have a pretty good understanding of what you mean by finishing throws, but how would you work on it, like during your day to day practice?
Yeah, so getting to that position more is important, right? Yeah. How many times do you get into drop Senagi finishing position or Ochi finishing position? Not that often, right? Maybe like if you're an Ochi guy, Senagi guy, you're spamming it. Majority of the time when you're doing Rondori, you spend a lot of time stepping out of bounds, stepping in bounds, facing each other, grip fighting, grip breaking, grip fighting, stepping out of bounds. One person goes for one or two throws, already 2 minutes gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, and I love this example. So I said this example the other day, and everyone's like, dude, you use this example all the time. The high backhand in tennis.
Yeah, how I saw often it. Do you YouTube get... comment then. Oh, about
dude,
that.
YouTube comment. I said it in the dojo. I was like, dude, you really like that tennis bat. Comment. Right? But you know, that comment really, like, that example really hit me because when my sister started getting tennis lessons and started beating me in tennis, you know, it drove me crazy.
And she would always give you the backhand.
She would always high backhand or a drop shot.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and I can never, and then, you know, I'll break my racket, and then eventually I just stop playing tennis against her. I was a sore loser. Because I couldn't fathom a world where my sister could beat me in sports, in any sport.
Oh, my God.
And then when she started beating me, I couldn't take it. And, you know, and I was a sore loser back then, and, you know, I still am, actually. But, like, you know, the high backhand and the drop shot, how many times will I encounter it? So, maybe one time or two times or five times I played with my sister.
Yeah.
And every time I won't get it and I'll blow my mind. I'll lose my mind. I'll blow fucking, you know what I mean? So like, as opposed to like, all right, let me just receive the high and then the drop shot. High backhand drop shot. How many of those can I receive in one practice if I deliberately trained it? One two-hour session, probably like 100.
Yeah.
So the next time my sister hits it to my high backhand or drop shot, it's my 105th time, 109th time that I'm being explosive. I do it every day, and my sister will never beat me in tennis again.
Right. That's the idea. So
that's the idea.
So then how do you put yourself into that finishing situation?
No, like, you start there. So we're going to talk about, okay. Yeah. Our next podcast is going to be situational training.
Situational training.
This has been a theme at my dojo for like the last 2 months.
I see. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm getting a sneak peek of what's going on in KBI. Yeah.
So you go, I go inside trip, Ochi position, right? And then I'm trying to finish and then time goes and the other person, you know, not even time goes, you know, you escape it and then the other person starts. So now you're used to this.
Right.
Used to it, right? And then the person receiving it is trying to counter it actively. So you get really, really good at, you start specializing in that position. And anytime you get to force that position in competition, you should have an advantage.
Yeah.
Because you've seen it more times.
Yeah.
While those people are circling, going out of bounds, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Going out of bounds, grip fighting for another 47 seconds. Agro's drop Sanagi. How much has really occurred in the four minutes of Randori? Not that much. It's not efficient, you know?
Yeah.
And these are the kind of things I'm starting to see in like jiu-jitsu training as well.
Mm. They do that a lot. I think maybe it's a little easier on the ground to do this on the ground. Like being a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, man. I had a roll like the other day, like, you know, shake hands, guy pulls guard, puts me in spider lasso. Like we're stuck there. You know what I mean? Like someone almost lands on us. We start over on our feet. Mm. Same thing. Guy pulls guard, spider lasso. I'm trying to fight out of it. And it's like, you know what I mean? I break out of it.
Yeah.
You know, we go to half guard and he like locks down and like, I'm trying to like leg extraction and then the round's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You didn't get to do much, I guess.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And then this guy, Marcus teaches over there. He's amazing. And he's like, you know what? Not efficient. We're going to just do this position. You know, we're just going to start in headquarters, pass, you reset into that.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do Del Hiva. We're going to go to Fulton Pass. And then you start there. Right? So now, all of a sudden, you're not wasting time, you know. So you have different starting points.
Right. I see.
You know what I mean?
And this is situational training we'll dedicate another episode on
this. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about this. And then, like, starting in bad positions, winning positions, Georgian A, Georgian B. Games that you can play to improve your judo immediately, because everyone's talking about games right now in martial arts and like having objectives and this and that to make your training more efficient.
Yeah.
But no one's really talking about exactly the specifics of how, you know?
Right.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Starting in the Ochi position, starting in the Osoto position, even just like kind of going 30% without finishing, just feeling it out.
Yeah.
So you get into the habit of like, what is this guy trying to do here?
Mm.
You know? Even like Nagakomi, instead of just taking him and just dumping him with an ogoshi that you know you could do that for Nagakomi, you get no ROI on that anymore. Everyone knows you can make the shape of a hip throw.
Yeah.
On a person standing right side versus left side, you already have the grip. You throw your hips across and take him over. That is the most useless exercise. That's the biggest waste of time.
Especially once you know how to do it.
Yeah. It's like, why are you doing that is my question to some of these black belts. Right? But if you go ogoshi there and the guy hip checks and you cut back ochi right there, that's a worthy thing to drill. You know? Even like, all right, we're going to start 3 feet away from or 4 feet away from the mat, open the leg ochi, drive, cut back, cross body, blah, 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 and then switch to osoto. Like, that's a good Nagakomi drill.
It's
very specific to finishing mechanics. You're taking into account the guy's reactions. You're developing a sensitivity to what they're going to do. And then countering that on the fly. You see what I mean?
Yeah. So I think a lot of times the entry gets more attention, maybe disproportionately so.
Yes.
Because judo, you know, uchikomi kind of emphasizes that. I mean, we're not saying that's not important. It's also very
important. Yeah.
But I think you're saying that finishing part is a little missing in our training.
Yes. I mean, like, I've always been this guy that talking about contextual judo, what precedes the attacks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hand position, grip fighting, one, you know, misdirection, and then fainting and, you know, mistiming everything.
Yeah.
Entries are another thing that's, everyone talks about this stuff, but then the finishing now. You know, I want to be a finisher. You know what I mean?
Sounds like an action movie. A finisher? Maybe. All right. Well, anything else?
No, just thank you guys for listening as always. We're very grateful for all our listeners. People coming in and like telling me about the podcast is amazing. You know, and we're very grateful.
Yeah.
Very grateful.
Very grateful.
And you could support us and make it much better for Peter to be spending his time with his brilliant PhD mind that he could be designing AI software, but he's on here talking to you with me, so.
I don't know. Sometimes I think this makes a bigger difference in the world.
Nah.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, this really, I mean, your support makes this more fun and enjoyable to do. Yeah. And we really appreciate it. And yeah, thanks for listening. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.